Amazon, not the most profitable. A mountain lion Easter egg, Safari 6, and RSS. Path updated, Twitter bans Instagram, and a Twitter tip for Mac users. It's Friday, July 27th, 2012, and this is iWake. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of iWake. Kicking off the show today is some rather startling news about Amazon.com. You know, the maker of the Kindle. Well, I finally took notice to how little profits the company has. The Verge reports that on Thursday, Amazon reported an operating profit of $107 million on $12.83 billion in net sales. So a little bit over $100 million in profits from around $13 billion in sales. That is crazy to me. Last quarter, the company bagged $192 million on sales of $13.18 billion. A year ago, it earned $201 million on sales of $9.91 billion. So the company had a worldwide... So with that said, I mean, the shocking thing here is last year, $200 million in profits with less sales. So this year, they had lots more sales, billions of dollars more sales, but they had around half... you know, much less, you know, let's see, around $107 million for around $3 billion less in sales. That seems kind of crazy to me how little profits this company has. The company also reported $4.12 billion in media sales, which compared to iTunes is pretty good. iTunes sold around $1.8 billion the same quarter. I'm guessing that by media, though, Amazon is counting physical as well as digital. I'd be curious to see how they stack up in the digital media, sales here, as I don't think they're doing amazingly well there, but I'm sure they're not doing too terrible. So the bottom line is this. The company makes more and more revenue each year, but makes less and less money in profits. It's kind of a sad story. I'm hopeful that they'll figure out how to turn those revenues into more and more profit, but they are in a low-margin business, unlike Apple. So kind of startling there to find that all out. Now on to some mountain lion news. First up is a nifty little Easter egg. When you do an incomplete download in Safari, the date modified will now be a rather significant one in Mountain Lion. January 24th, 1984. You know, the date of the original Macintosh, its debut. Apple isn't one for clinging to its past, but sure has done so in this case. Anyways, a nifty find, thanks to Apple Insider for sharing this one. In software compatibility news is Microsoft sharing that Office will work just fine and dandy with Mountain Lion. Both Office for Mac 2011 and Office for Mac 2008 are said to be good to go. No word yet on Retina support or iCloud support, though. Nothing new there. Autodesk was not so kind to its users. The company issued a statement saying, the following products are currently not supported on Mac OS X 10.8 Mountain Lion. AutoCAD 2013 for Mac, AutoCAD 2012 for Mac, AutoCAD LT 2013 for Mac, and AutoCAD LT 2012 for Mac. If any of these products are installed on Mountain Lion, undesirable side effects can occur, including issues with installer restart, resetting applications, cursor missing when printing to PDF, and more. Our engineers are working round the clock to support Mountain Lion for these products. However, no support is currently available. Until such time as a service pack is available, we highly recommend not installing Mountain Lion on any machines where AutoCAD 2013 or 2012 is needed. Autodesk also says that a beta program adding support for Mountain Lion to AutoCAD 2012 and 2013 will be coming shortly, but they don't give any timelines about that. I am curious, though, if their Mac App Store apps warn users in any way, as I believe those are still up for sale in Apple's own App Store. Anyways, just something to be aware of. The last bit of Mountain Lion news has to do with Safari 6, which is also available for Lion users. Something not so good happened with this release. RSS is now not detected on websites. This is now what Apple would call a third-party opportunity. In prior versions of Safari, a little button appeared in the URL bar that said RSS. Clicking that would load the RSS into the Safari window. The removal of RSS is a bit of aggravation as I'm a podcaster And that's kind of what that's what podcasts work with, RSS. And so with that said, have no fear. Red Sweater Software is here to the rescue. According to their blog, my beta quality, more or less unsupported subscribe to feed extension adds a handy button to the toolbar that when a page offers RSS or add-in feeds, can be clicked to easily open the feed, which should automatically open your favorite news reader. I hope this extension fills a void for those of you missing the beloved RSS button from Safari 5 and earlier. Red Sweater is famously known for their Mars Edit software. The extension is free and I'll be giving it a try pretty soon. Sadly, this does not bring back the magical ability for Safari to actually read those RSS feeds. As I just said, this would actually load the RSS in a different program, not Safari. Now on to some iOS app news. First up is Path. It's been updated to version 2.5. The new update adds many new features such as book and movie sharing, you know, what you're reading or watching, a larger presentation of images, and new features related to the camera and photo editing. Overall, a pretty cool update. I, for one, watched lots of movies and I'm eager to share those with my friends, you know, so pretty cool. Now on to Google Earth. Version 7 has hit the iTunes App Store, bringing with it those all-new 3D maps the company showed off last month. The realistic 3D imagery goes head-to-head with flyover found in iOS 6. The new imagery is only available in Los Angeles, Boston, San Francisco, Geneva, and Rome, but Google promises that it will add more cities over the coming weeks. Only iPhone 4S and iPad 2, or later, can handle the new feature. So while short-term, many may see this as a great thing to have in Google Earth, I see this as a scare towards Google Maps on iOS and the future of it. If Google feels it can put the 3D maps into Google Earth, which is the technology they promised would come to iOS when they announced this, I have some fear that the company won't bring this to Google Maps on iOS. It was my prediction that Google Maps would arrive as a third-party app in the App Store this summer, and I predicted this because they said the 3D maps would be coming to iOS. Now, with this inclusion in Google Maps, it gives me a bit of a scare that Google Maps will never arrive on the iPhone again. I'd imagine they'd want to be on this platform as it brings more traffic and all those other things. Anyways, Google, if you are listening, release your Google Maps app sooner rather than later so I don't freak out too much by the loss of public transit, because Google, you do a great job at providing that. And other app news is Instagram. The company announced yesterday it hit 80 million users. An impressive number for sure. Meanwhile, though, Twitter has blocked API access to Instagram for the Find My Friends feature in Instagram. It could be out of spite of the app now being owned by Facebook, or it could be that 80 million requests to Twitter is just too much for them. I personally love that feature. It allowed me to follow on Instagram some of my favorite Twitter folks. Now I guess I'll be finding Facebook friends on Instagram. You can still share photos to Twitter, though, through Instagram. Who knows if that'll get killed off, too. Last up in app news today is an update to iTunes U. While I think I talked about the app update yesterday, today is rather about the server side and teacher side of things. According to The Verge, any teacher can now sign up without going through a verification process and create and share private courses, which lets students view lectures and supplementary materials. These courses won't show up in the iTunes U catalog, though. Teachers will still need to go through a school portal to post them publicly, and their accounts will need to be verified. The options are also slightly different for unverified teachers, who are limited to 20 gigs of space in 12 courses with no more than 50 students apiece. So now I could be a teacher in iTunes U, as could you, as you don't need to be verified, which was a threshold for lots of people. I'm sure there's all kinds of uses for this. The big one I can think of is homeschooling. It'll never be the same again. Closing out the show today are a few odd and end stories. The first is not a story, but rather a tip. I noticed the other day that if you command click on a link in the Twitter app, or if you click on a Twitter user in the app, you'll be greeted with a new screen with that link or profile you just clicked on. I discovered this one by accident. I think you may find it rather handy if you use the official Twitter app for the Mac. So once again, command click in the Twitter app for Mac, and you'll get some cool stuff as a result. So there you go. Next up is AT&T. Continuing its LTE rollout. Is your city the lucky few to get added? Well, if you're in Miami, West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, or the Worcester, Massachusetts area, you are in luck and you now have LTE. Sadly, Hawaii still has no AT&T LTE. Meanwhile, the company announced it's improving its coverage in vicinities around Massachusetts, Greater Baltimore, as well as the Washington, D.C. region. So AT&T is at around 50 cities, whereas Verizon is over 300. AT&T is catching up. Hopefully, it won't take them too much longer to get to Hawaii, which, as I said, still does not have LTE. Last up today is the expected release date of The Dark Knight Rises for iTunes, DVD, and Blu-ray. And what is that date? December 7th. That's what everyone's saying it will be. So for those that don't want to see it in theaters, think ahead. Are you willing to wait until December? It's an awesome movie, awesome film, deserving of the big screen and cinematic experience that I'd recommend seeing. So December, it will be coming out on some sort of digital media. Before closing out the show today, I just want to remind everyone that iWake Again is airing again this weekend. iWake Again is for those that really appreciate iWake. The $10 a month show gives you a 30-minute audio show every Saturday or Sunday as a way to wake up to iWake over the weekend and provide you a way to pay for the Monday through Friday show that most of you get for free. So if you feel like this show is worth a quarter a day, which I believe is what the math rounds out to, spend the $10 a month on iWake Again. You get extra content as well as a great way to donate to iWake. So you can find out more information about this over at iWakePodcast.com/again. Once again, to join this iWake Again community, head on over to iWakePodcast.com/again. Well, that's what's going on in the Apple world today. And that will do this week for some of us, but not everyone. As I just said, iWake Again subscribers, I'll talk to you this weekend. Everyone else, talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Aloha.